Right, this morning's reading is Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, it's great to be with you here this morning. So good to be part of your meeting. It was a real privilege when I was asked to speak. And as has been mentioned, I'm part of New Community Church, which is just around the corner on Station Road. And I've been working there for about a year. Before that, I was in Nottingham for 9 years and studied up there. And I worked for a church for several years. Also did a bit of wedding photography as well. And then moved down here about a year ago to work full-time for the church. And one of the real privileges and pleasures I've had as being part of the monthly church breakfast. Every month we either have breakfast or lunch together as church leaders, which George organises, and it's been a lot of fun just to meet with other church leaders and to see all the different things that God is doing in and Sidcup, and to be reminded that we're part of something bigger and something more than just our own churches. And I just want to say how grateful I am personally, and how grateful we are as New Community Church to be brothers and sisters with you guys. No one of us churches can do everything ourselves, and we all have a real heart to see Sidcup reached. And so to be here this morning to worship with you, to be praising the same Jesus and knowing that we're all on the same page with the same purpose is a real real blessing for me, and just want to thank you for all you're doing. And I also just, he hasn't asked me to say this, he hasn't paid me, but I just want to say a special thank you to George as well. He's been a real blessing to me. I came to Sidcup not knowing anyone here at all, and it was difficult. I felt quite lonely, I felt quite isolated, but knowing that there was people who were kind of interested in seeing me and talking to me. And whenever at the church leaders' lunches and breakfast, George is always very friendly. And just seeing a man who in his late 70s is still serving God. It's not too much longer. I'm not sure how many days are left on the clock that you can say that one. But in his late 70s, you've got to cling on to that one, George. Great to see just him serving the God, and he really serving the Lord in Sidcup, and he really does make, I think, a bigger difference than many of us would even know in Sidcup and the surrounding areas, and maybe far more than even people in this room realize. So just want to publicly thank George, and wish him all the best as he enters into a new decade of life in a few days. We won't tell you which decade, but if you're good at maths, you know what comes after your 70s. So a little bit more about me. Like I say, I work for New Community Church. Another thing you should probably know is that I'm not a morning person. I hate mornings. So whenever I find out it's daylight saving times, you probably have this. I always have that moment where I'm trying to do the maths to work out, is this where we gain an hour or lose an hour? And then there's that moment of dread when I think, I've got to lose an hour of sleep, which to some of you is like no big deal. But if you're like me and you're not a morning person, it's like your world falls apart a little bit, and it's tough. So if you're like me and this morning was hard getting out of bed, then I just want to say you're not alone. I'm with you in that. I know your pain. And the thing that kind of woke me up this morning was I was on the phone with my auntie, and she's kind of like a second mum to me, and I was wishing her a happy Mother's Day, and we've been chatting for a few minutes and said, I'm amazed, Liz, that you're so awake and so kind of alert this time of morning, especially with the clocks going forward last night. And literally this is what she said, oh no, I've got to go, bye, and then just hung up the phone after this really sweet conversation. And realised she was late for church, and it was hilarious. So that woke me up and made me feel a bit better about myself. That even though I was hating the morning, at least I remembered the clocks were changing. So, yeah, if you were late to church this morning, don't worry. There's thousands around the country who did exactly the same thing today. Cool. Well, today we're going to be looking at the verse we just had read to us about the treasure of God. But before we get on to that, I want to ask you a bit of a deep question. And maybe for you like me, the mornings are not always the best time to be thinking deeply, but I'll go for it anyway. And the question is this: what do you love the most? What do you love the most? Maybe another way of asking that would be, what's most important to you? What's most important? Maybe the Bible would word it this way in light of the verse we heard this morning. What's your treasure? What's your treasure? We're going to be looking at a story today which really explores this whole thing of what is important to us, what do we love and what our treasure is. So let's read the verse one more time. It's Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And it's only one verse, two sentences, but it says a whole lot about what is important in life. It says this, Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So what's going on in this story? What's happening? Well, this man has come across a treasure in a field. We don't know if he was out on a stroll, if he kind of heard about it, he saw something glinting in the distance and went closer, but he's found a treasure in a field. And then instantly, as soon as he finds it, everything in his life changes. He sells all that he has so that he can have this treasure. And the question that it really raises for us in trying to understand what this parable is, I mean, Jesus used stories all the time, didn't he? He loved telling stories. But there's always a deeper message in what he was saying. He's not literally saying, go out and try and find some buried treasure, get out your metal detector or anything like that. There's a deeper message in this story. So what is the treasure? What is this thing that's so important? Well, I think all of us would say we have certain treasures in our lives. All of us would say, you know, there's things that are so important to me, things that I really value. And maybe for us it's our work. You know, that's really important to me, that I have a good career, good job, have plenty of money. Or maybe for us it's our health. You know, I want to have a long life. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be kind of in pain. I want to have a long and healthy life. For others, it might be family. I want to love and be loved. The problem with all of these treasures is that when we find our truest kind of hope and our peace and our security in these things, ultimately, however good they are, they never fully and truly satisfy us. Because at the end of the day, if it's health, for example, you know, we're desperate, you know, to live a healthy and easy and pain-free life. No matter how hard we try or however many salads we eat or supplements we take, eventually that health is going to go, however hard we try. Or maybe it's our career and we find all our kind of hope in just having lots of money so we can get a big house. But maybe that career ends. Well, ultimately, it always will end. And maybe that house, which was this big thing, eventually you have to spend more money on it. Or maybe you can't afford the payments. Or eventually you have to sell it. Or eventually you die and you realize you can't take it with you. Or maybe it's family. I love my family. I'm a real big family person. But even with family, the people we love the most, there's always going to be an element of wishing things were slightly different or wish we had more. We're never fully fulfilled or satisfied in our families. But the amazing thing about this parable and the message it tells us is that there's a treasure that fulfills all of our deepest desires and longings. See, for all of us who want to know that we can be truly loved, the treasure talked about in this parable is saying that for God so loved the world that he came and gave everything for you. For those of us who are saying, I wish, you know, I could live and live. Jesus came and said, I've conquered death, that I've taken away the sting of death. We sang it earlier, didn't we? Death, where is your sting? Jesus has conquered the grave when he came on the cross and he died, taking away all of our sin and our shame and guilt, taking the punishment that you and I deserved. He conquered death once and for all. And when he rose from the grave 3 days later, he promised to us eternal life, showing that death has no power over you and me anymore. We don't have to fear dying anymore. We don't have to be consumed with, oh, what's going to happen when I die? Because we know that we've got a home in heaven forever. And it's not just this kind of get out of hell free card that Jesus got for us. It's not just that, you know, now we're into heaven, that's it, let's just kind of enjoy life for a few years and then go there. No, the reason that Jesus died was to give us a relationship with God. In 1 Peter 3:18 it says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, that's him, for the unrighteous, that's us, that he might bring us to God. That's the treasure, that we can have relationship with God, your creator, the one who knows everything about you, your faults, your flaws, the things that you do behind closed doors that no one knows about. He loves you with an everlasting love. For those who believe and receive the free gift of salvation, we can know a lifelong and eternal relationship with God. And that's something that starts today. Again, it's not something, sometimes we think, oh, all this stuff happens when I die and then it's great. But you can know that peace, that joy, a taste of that hope, that relationship with God, you can know it today. So what's our response? Knowing all this, knowing that the treasure has been given to us, what's our response to it? Or what happens in the story? Well, it says this. The man found the treasure hidden in the field, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. See, when we know that treasure, when we know the truth of what Jesus has done for us, it changes everything. It changes everything in our lives. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about my comfort. I want to respond to all that Jesus has done for me. It changes how I spend my time and how I spend my money and how I prioritize things and how I kind of get caught up in certain things. Everything changes when I know the treasure of Jesus. We're no longer focused on all I have today. We're looking to eternity and the things that last. The professional cricket player turned missionary C.T. Studd once said this, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And I love that in this story. It says that the man sold all that he had in his joy. Because when we do all this, sometimes you can think, oh, the Christian life, it's a chore, you know, it's difficult. But this man did everything he did in joy. See, the reason that we can do it in joy is because it's a response to what's already been done for us. This isn't us having to whip things up and having to, you know, try really hard. The message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, is that we love because he first loved us. It's a response. So we give all we have. Why? Because he gave everything for us. It's a response. And so we do it in joy. It's from a place of grace, saying that everything has already been given to you. You don't actually have to give anything. But out of joy, out of love, out of response, you say, of course I want to give everything to him. We're free. We're free now because of all that Jesus has done. But the greatest expression of freedom is to say, I'm going to lay that down. I'm going to lay down all I have and follow Jesus. David Livingstone, who some of you may have heard of, a missionary in Africa, a doctor over there, he was once being introduced at Cambridge University, and the guy introduced him to the stage, a bit like maybe I was introduced this morning, gave him a little introduction, and this guy bigged him up as this man who'd made great sacrifices for the Lord. And David Livingstone got up, and this is what he said straight away. "For my own part, I have never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of sacrifice that I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God which we can never repay? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering or danger now and then with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of life may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice." Some powerful words. You know, these are the words of a man who died of dysentery in a lonely hut in Zambia, thousands of miles away from the comfort of his home in England. How is he able to say that? Because he found the treasure. He'd found the treasure. My question for you this morning is, have you found the treasure? Have you found the treasure? Maybe you don't know, maybe you're not sure. Well, how would you know? Because your response is like the man in the parable. Everything has changed in your life because of what you've found in this treasure. The way in which you, like we were saying, the way in which you spend your time and you prioritize. All of a sudden, your priorities of how you fill up your time is shifted. The way in which you spend your money. The way in which you think, yeah, I just want to give and I want to serve. I want to bless other people. Your emotions. How much of your time and energy is spent thinking of, oh, I need to get this sorted here or I need to get that sorted now. How much is focused on what can I do that's going to make a difference that will last? My parents are both in their late 60s. And about 3 years ago, they decided to retire. And they moved to Moldova, which is in Eastern Europe. It's the poorest country in Europe. For them, they've been missionaries for many years and taken a break. But they decided that now they're retired, they were ready for a fresh challenge and really wanting to serve God some more. And so they moved out there 3 years ago. They live in Chisinau, the capital, and they're surrounded by poverty and much need, involved in a lot of relief work out there, are really trying to spread the gospel and bring a lot of hope to some hopeless people. And I remember a couple of years ago being at church with them, and they were back in England trying to tell people about what they do and just kind of raise a bit of awareness about Moldova. I expect if I showed you a map of Eastern Europe, you'd have no idea where Moldova is. To be honest, I still struggle. My parents have lived there 3 years. But they were giving a talk about Moldova and explaining, you know, the hardships of it, but the real blessing it is to be able to do that. And I remember a middle-aged guy in the church came up to them after the service, and I overheard their conversation, and he said, "That's great what you're doing. I could never do that. I could never give up the comforts of England." And you know, I admired his honesty, and to be honest, it's the type of thing that people say to my parents all the time. But I guess, and let's be honest, we can all relate to that. I think for many of us, we could say, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's difficult. But I think the question I'd want to ask that guy, or any of us who feel that same way, is, have you found the treasure? Because when you found the treasure, you say, I'm willing to give up everything. Now, it might not be that you're called to Moldova or some far-flung country, but each one of us, when we found that treasure, our response is we say, I surrender all. I'm willing to give anything. It might be your job you choose is slightly different, which means you have more time to give to serving. It might be that, you know, you are that person who says, I'm going to go, even in older age, I'm going to go. And yeah, I might have to lay down comfort. I may have to lay down health. My mum, in the 3 years she's been there, she's got pneumonia twice. It might be for you, say, I'm going to live a less long and comfortable and easy life, but I'm willing to give anything because I've found the treasure. You might not be called to Moldova or Somalia, but if you're in Sidcup, you're called to make a difference here. And all of us to say, I surrender all. In Matthew 6:19, it's a great verse which I think reminds us of this challenge. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think the challenge for many of us today is that a lot of us have come to church for many years, been kind of involved in Christian life and circles, maybe read the Bible, maybe prayed. But one of the reasons we find it so hard to even think about the concept of laying things down for God, or whether that's our finances or our time, it's because we've never really found the treasure. But the reason so many of us are striving and struggling, working really hard, and I'm just really trying to serve Jesus, but I don't seem to see breakthrough, and I'm working, and I don't feel like he loves me. It's because we haven't found the treasure of his grace. That he's saying, I've done it all for you, and now you can know freedom in me. I think one of the reasons many of us walk away from the faith and we choose things that are here and now is because we never truly found the treasure. And it's a challenge for us today, and I completely get it. I get why it's a difficult thing, because the reality is we often want what's now intangible, don't we? So it's easy for me to say, oh, come on, guys, you know, you should invest in eternity and in things that, you know, are to come, and invest in heaven, store up your treasures in heaven. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, it's a lot easier to pick what's here and now rather than what's unseen and eternal. So maybe it's I get, you know, the whole kind of serving and giving, but I live in a small house, it's not very comfortable, I'd much prefer to have a bigger, comfortable house, and if I gave a lot, then I couldn't have those things. So yeah, I get the whole sort of giving, eternity, all that, but here and now, it's easier, I understand that. Or maybe it's, I know that it's right for me to be with someone, to marry someone who follows Jesus, who knows Jesus, who's going to draw me closer to him. But I'm lonely, I'm single, I want those things. And the thought of laying that down for something I can't see and touch, I mean, when they hug me, I feel loved. You're saying Jesus loves me. I don't necessarily feel that. I don't see it. You say it, but I get that. I understand that temptation myself. But my question again is, have you found the treasure? Because when you have, you're willing to lay down everything. Now, I get this is hard. In fact, I'd probably say it's impossible. It's not something in our own strength we're able to do. It's something that if we're really going to achieve this, to live for God with everything we have, we need his help. We can't do it alone. We need to come to him every day and say, God, I recognize that in myself, naturally, I want to choose what's best for me. I want to ignore you. I want to follow my own path. But Jesus, I need your help. I need your strength. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform yourself to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's every day coming to Jesus and saying, I need your help to choose you today. Remind me of your treasure. We focus on God. We turn our eyes to him. There's this great old song. It says this, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus again today. Maybe for you, the things of this earth are more glorious, more of a treasure to you. That as you look to Jesus every day, you ask for his strength. The things which did have such a hold on us, all of a sudden just seem to be so meaningless compared to the glory of knowing and serving him. Let's look to Jesus this morning. I just want to conclude by saying there might be some here, I'm sure there are some here who for you, you've never really taken that time to say, you know what, Jesus, I want you to be my treasure. I want to give everything to you. It might be your first time in church today, or you know, it might have been, you've been coming for years, many years. We had a lady in our church a couple of weeks ago, 93-year-old lady, been coming to church decades, but realized she'd never given her whole life to Jesus. Today you can turn to Jesus and say, I want you to be my treasure. I give everything to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for that wonderful treasure. Jesus, that you would give everything for us. God, as we look to that picture of you on the cross, the pain and the shame and just the image, we're reminded that that should have been us, that we should have been there. But you took our place, Lord. You took our sin and our guilt and our shame. You bore it on your shoulders, and you've defeated sin and death for once and for all. And we thank you for the joy of knowing that we can know you, that we can be with you forever. Complete peace and complete joy. Thank you for that wonderful gift, Lord. We know we can never repay you, and we know you don't ask us to. You just ask us to come to you, Lord, give you our lives, to follow you. to love you back. It's a response to you, Lord, that this morning we say we love you because you first loved us, Lord. We want to give everything to you. Why, God? Because you gave everything, everything for us. We love you, Lord, and we worship you. You're the great treasure. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.